Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited. We're just a few days away from Christmas morning as we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. This past Sunday night, we had an incredible night of worship. And I'm telling you, I have been here for 15 years. And not that any of the other years weren't as good, but this year was unbelievable. It was incredible. And so it was truly a wonderful night of worship. I mean, the orchestra sounded amazing. The choir sounded amazing. Brother Aaron was running marathons up here. I mean, it was incredible. I'm just so thankful for each of you being here on that night to support the choir, the orchestra, Brother Aaron, and all those who were a part, and also to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to share with you today that obviously if you got here early, you found out there was no life group this morning. Those who got here early may have been a little bit concerned when you pull up to the church on Sunday morning and there is no cars in the parking lot. Don't worry, as I've told you before, if the rapture happens, Brother Randy will preach. I'm just kidding. But to give you the church schedule, I just want you to know that there is no life groups next Sunday, December 29th. There's no midweek service or worship time December 25th or January 1st. And then the office is closed between December 24th and the 27th, and then also on January 1st. We are continuing to take up our offering for Lottie Moon Christmas. That all the finances that go, or all the money that is given during that time, goes directly to missions all over the world. And so this goes through the IMB. These are our missionaries, those that believe and walk according to as we do. And so this is an opportunity for us to support them. I've told you it takes about $55,000 to $60,000 for one person on the field for a year. And so that's our prayers, that we would have, that we'd be able to support one person throughout this year. And so if you would like to make a gift towards that, just put on your check to Lottie Moon, or you can, there's envelopes in front of you that you can put it in there as well. Also, one other thing before we get going today, when you walked in, you saw that there was communion elements at the on the tables. I hope that you picked one up. If you did not, during the first song today, when we're greeting everybody and shaking hands, it's a perfect time for you to step back there and pick up one of these, because we will be taking communion today during our service, and I'd love for you to have that then so that you're not having to run back to the back during that time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to get started. Father, you are so good, and we praise your holy, holy name. And Lord, I thank you today that we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus emptied himself and took on flesh. It says that he went all the way to death, death on a cross. Therefore, you have given him the name above all names, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, Father, we rejoice today in the God of our salvation. Now, Father, I pray that our hearts would be pure before you, O God, that we would listen to what you are speaking today, and that we would place it into our lives, that we would worship you every day this week as we celebrate Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
We're going to make it. We're going to get there. There it is, right there. Hey, God, I really do want to say thank you to our choir and our orchestra. And also, you don't ever see them, but if everybody just turns their head backwards once, our media team does a fantastic job every single year with everything that they do. And it is a necessary thing, and they do such a great job with that. That is just as much worship as what we're doing right here, singing, what they're doing, playing, what Brother David is doing, preaching. We all have a part. We are one body together. We have come to adore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand and welcome someone around you as we begin to sing today. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let's sing together. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let us We do shout joy because our Savior has come. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We can praise Him at any point, any time. Let's sing this. I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. Sing this with me. I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubted. Praise when outnumbered. I'll praise when outnumbered. Praise when surrounded. Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in.
As long as I'm breathing.
As long as I'm breathing. I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Oh my soul.
Lift it up this morning.
Praise the Lord. Oh my soul. I'll breathe when I feel it. I'll praise when I don't.
Praise cause I know.
I'll praise cause I know. You're still in control.
Do you believe that?
My praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as
sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. Sing, I'll praise.
I'll praise cause You're sovereign. Praise cause You reign. Praise cause You rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause You're faithful. Praise cause You're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than You. I'll praise cause You're sovereign. Praise cause You reign. Praise cause You rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause You're faithful. Praise cause You're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than You. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Sing it this morning. Sang this song on our worship night. It's called Sing with the Song of Emmanuel. I love the verse that it has. It says, Maker of Mary, now Mary's son. You believe that? Hey, we just talked about it. Without the virgin birth, we don't have the gospel. Let's sing the song of Emmanuel.
Sing with the song of Emmanuel. This the Christ who was long foretold. Low in the shadow of Bethlehem.
promise of dawn now arise, behold. God moves high in a manger laid. Lift your voices and now proclaim. Great and glorious, love has come to us. Join now with the host of heaven.
Amen. Come we to welcome Emmanuel, God with us.
Come we to welcome Emmanuel, King who came with no crown or throne. Helpless he lay, the invincible Maker of Mary, now Mary's son. Oh, what wisdom to save us all, shepherds, sages, before him fall. Grace and majesty, what humility. Spread the news of Emmanuel, joy and peace for the weary heart. Lift up your heads, for your King has come.
Amen.
Sing, for the light overwhelms the dark.
Sing, glory shines.
Glory shining for all.
I can imagine it was pretty startling to see all those multitudes of angels there in the shepherd's field saying glory to God in the highest, peace on the earth, goodwill toward men. But I know it was glorious. And one day we're going to be with those heavenly witnesses singing holy, holy, holy forever and lifting our shout of praise in the presence of Jesus, the presence of our Savior. So as we end our congregational worship for this Christmas time, just say, let's shout to the Lord now in anticipation of the second advent, that our Lord is coming to save us. Let's sing, My Jesus, My Savior. Denise, will you lead us as we sing today?
My Jesus, My Savior, Lord, there is none. Shelter, tower of refuge and strength.
together. Heavenly Father, there is nothing that can compare with you. You are the Lord of our lives, everything that we have, everything that we are, Lord. We love you so much, and we celebrate this time of Christmas together. That the first Noel, that first Christmas, was the moment where you came and you started the redemption process, Lord. And we just pray that we would remember you in the cradle, but also your life and also your death on the cross and your resurrection from the dead, Lord, that has saved us from our sins, has given us a new life. Lord, we are new creatures in Christ. We pray that we would do those good things that you've laid out for us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where so deep.
Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful song. I think that if you were not here on Sunday night, you just realized that you may have missed out on one of the best that we've ever had. As they sang that song towards the end, as we closed out the idea that there is no other king, no one like King Jesus. And last week, as we kind of began our journey in the Advent season, we talked about the angel coming to Mary and sharing with Mary. And we looked at those different understandings of what the angel proclaimed to Mary about the birth of Jesus. And he shared that he would be the eternal king, that he would reign forever. Shared that he would be the holy child. He shared that he would be fully God and fully man, the hypostatic union as we mentioned last week. And today we're going to jump into Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 20, and see this fulfillment of what the angel spoke to Mary. Now I know that we've got all the kids in here today, all ages. So I've got some pictures for y'all. I like the picture book. I don't know about y'all. Oftentimes I read books, and the books I read have plenty of pictures in them. It helps me through it. So I've got some pictures for y'all today. As we read through this story, I want to show you some pictures from Israel that will just help you bring this even more to light in your mind. Parents, my wife's already told me that there's a lot of kids in here today, so don't go long. So y'all pray that we will be on time today. But anyways, let's go, Lord, in prayer as we open up his word. Father, you are so good, and we just praise your holy, holy name. And Lord, I pray that today that the Holy Spirit will just illuminate the pages as we worship you in spirit and in truth. For it's in your holy name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 6. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. For the kids in this room, I want you to see this picture of a manger. Oftentimes we think of a manger looking as something that is made out of wood with some hay in it, but really it would have been like stone. This on the left side, a feeding trough that Jesus, Emmanuel, would have been laid. It goes on, it says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Before I share with you what the angel said, let me show you the current day of that field. Just outside of Bethlehem, the angel showed up to the shepherds. And I'll show you this painting there at the church at this traditional site. This is what it may have looked like. I know this is just a drawing or a painting. You can leave that slide up as I read this part. It says, but the angel is suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angel had gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds began to say to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph as the baby as he lay in the manger. Go to the next picture. I want you to see In those days, oftentimes, cut out in the rock or down in a cave would be where they would keep their animals. Probably something like this is where Emmanuel was born. It says, when they had seen this, they made the statements which had been told to them about this Christ. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And then the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. The key phrase in this passage is this, that the angel has spoken. The angel says, I bring you good news. And this good news is for all people. The first thing we want to look at today is this good news. What is the good news that the angel is proclaiming? The greatest birth announcement ever known. As the multitude of angels said, glory to God in the highest. What is this good news? The angel speaks this so clearly, says in verse 11, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This good news is that a Savior is born. But we must understand, for there to be a Savior born, why do we need a Savior? Well, we recognize all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man. We see the sin of Adam. And through his sin, all of his offspring, which includes you and it includes me, all of his offspring were born into sin. As the scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it also says that there's a wage for the sin, for the wages of sin is death. Church, we must repay this debt that we owe to an infinitely holy God. The problem is that the debt is too big and we cannot pay the debt that we owe. So you and I are in need of a Savior. One who could pay the debt that we owed. One who is perfect, holy, and sinless. One who is infinite and able to pay an infinite debt towards a holy God. This Savior is none other than the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. He was there in creation. As the song said that Brother Aaron just spoke of that line, that the one who created Mary is now Mary's child. He's the second person in the Trinity, eternally begotten of the Father. This is the good news that the angel shared. The long-awaited Messiah has been born. How long has humanity waited for a Savior? All the way back since Genesis chapter 3. 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. From the moment of sin that entered into the world through the sin of Adam, humanity and creation was waiting for the Savior. Even Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 gives a glimpse of this that will come. And it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. Now the Savior is born. Would you be excited if you were sitting there in the fields and all of a sudden, in the dark of night, the glory of the Lord shone around and said, hey, today, the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, has been born. You've been waiting, and now here's that announcement. The good news, he has come, but not just for you shepherds, but it says in the passage, this will be for who? All people. Emmanuel, the Savior of the world, has come for all people. Is this not what Jesus speaks in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his only begotten, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Church, I want you to hear that as we celebrate Christmas just on this Wednesday and just 3 days from now, that Jesus came for all people. He offers salvation to all mankind. Jesus offers you salvation today. Even 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it speaks of this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. What we celebrate this Wednesday is for all people. The question, though, is will you believe and submit to the lordship of Christ? Look at what Jesus says even in John chapter 3 on down in verse 18. He says, "He who believes in me is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light, Jesus, has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil." Church, Jesus offers salvation to all those who will believe in him and submit to the lordship of Christ. They shall not be judged because of their salvation in the Savior, Jesus. The next thing that we see in this passage in Luke chapter 2 as we look at the birth of Christ is the response of the shepherds to the good news. The response of the shepherd to the good news. The first thing that we see in this passage in verse 15, I love this, and y'all know I've shared this every Christmas. I love it. I can't get enough of it in verse 15. They said, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Let us go straight to Bethlehem. Now, as many of you know, as I share this passage, these were shepherds. They weren't the cleanest of the clean. They were the lowliest of the low. They were with their flock at night. They were protecting their sheep, and I guarantee you that they probably didn't smell the best. More than likely, they smelt like sheep. And they said, "The Savior has been born. We're going straight. We're not going home and getting a nice warm shower. We're not putting on our Sunday best. We're going straight to the Messiah." Oftentimes, we think, "I must clean myself up before I come to church on Sunday morning." Oftentimes people say, "I've got to get some things right in my life before I can come to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior." Can I tell you that even if you clean yourself up a little bit, that you're just as filthy before holy God as you were before you cleaned yourself up? The only one who can genuinely cleanse you is Christ and Christ alone. Our righteousness, as the scripture says, is but filthy rags before the holiness of God. The shepherds didn't say, "Let's clean ourselves up." They said, "Hey, we are in need of a Savior. He has been born today. We're going straight to Bethlehem." I'm reminded of the story of William Carey. Some people call him the greatest missionary of all times outside of Paul. He actually is who kind of began the missionary movement even in the Baptist denomination. But when William Carey came under conviction during a midweek Bible study, he said, "You know what? I need to clean myself up." And so he tried in his own power and his own strength to make himself, in some words, holy or right. Very quickly, William Carey recognized that the only one that could cleanse him was Jesus Christ. So when he tried to fix his life, when he tried to clean himself up, what happened in that moment, except for the fact that he came under greater conviction that he couldn't do it? And he surrendered his life to the lordship of Christ. The reason I love that story is because I think this is one of the reasons why he was one of the greatest missionaries, is because he realized very quickly that he must abide in Christ and not try to do it in his own power or his own strength. The shepherds said, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem." But then it says this, I love this, in verse 16, "So they came in a hurry." They quickly came. What is the response of the shepherds? Go straight to Bethlehem, but not just straight to Bethlehem. Let's go fast. Let's get there. We don't want to miss out. There's no time to delay. What if the shepherds would have said, "Oh, we'll wait a day. What if they would have said, "Well, we'll go next week." They would have missed this moment when Emmanuel was born. Church, I want you to hear that God is calling you to salvation, and there is no time to delay. I want you to understand that life is but a vapor. It is here one day and gone the next. Throughout my 15 years here at Luke 4:18, and even before that with Kanakuk, I have been to and done funerals for those who were old and funerals for those who were young. Death comes to us all, and none of us are guaranteed another moment. Each breath that you have is a gift of grace from Holy God. And so we cannot simply say, "Well, maybe tomorrow, or after I sow my wild oats," as they say. We must recognize that Scripture says today is the day of salvation. As you hear the gospel, Emmanuel has been born. He emptied himself, took on flesh, and came so that you may be saved. Why would we ever say, I'll hold off for another day? The only reason is if you don't truly recognize that you're in need of a Savior. So we recognize what happened. We see how they responded to the good news. They went straight to Bethlehem. They quickly went. But then we see at the end of this passage the effects of the good news. The effects of the good news. What happened to the shepherds? They were changed. They left differently. Think about this. They're out in the fields. They're watching their flock by night. They quickly run. They don't clean themselves up. They go straight to the Messiah, to the Savior. And there they share with Mary and others what they had heard. And they worship. And they leave. And how do they leave? But praising God and worshiping. Why? Because when you have an encounter with the Savior of the world, you will never be the same. Scripture speaks of how the Holy Spirit gives you a new heart. There's a transformation from death to life. When you have truly encountered the Savior of the world, there is a change in your life. Or as the Scripture says, crossed over from death to life. Or as it says that the Spirit takes the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. There's a transformation that takes place. First, justification, and then sanctification begins to take its place. Is this not what we see in baptism? When we go into the baptismal waters, we speak this. It's upon your profession that you have had an encounter with God, with the Savior. And we say, you buried with Christ unto death and raised to walk in the newness of life. This is an outward expression of what's happened inwardly in somebody's life. It reflects the change of heart. It reflects the fact that you were dead and now you're alive. This week, I had the privilege and the honor to baptize one of our members. We did it at Providence Wellness, right up here in the swimming pool. And now I want to show you this video.
Well, I am so excited to be here today, actually at the Providence Wellness with USA. Just so thankful for them allowing us to be here. And Benny has shared with me about his profession of faith, and we've met and talked and had a wonderful time. Today, Benny is coming for baptism, and we are just so excited today. Benny, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Well, it's upon your profession of faith, my brother, that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bury with Christ unto death. And raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Benny Starr, sitting right over here, we just praise God for your profession of faith and so thankful for Providence Wellness letting us use that pool to help. And, you know, I just rejoice. Church, we must recognize that there is an effect on our lives when we encounter the Savior. If there has not been an effect or a change in your life, then my question is, have you really encountered the Savior? You say, but David, it's not works-based. I get that. But as we just studied for a year in the book of James, we saw that one who truly has faith will begin to work for the kingdom of God, not out of earning their salvation, but because of their salvation. Because of the transformation. Church, even Jesus spoke of this in John chapter 3, as we just shared with you, John 3:16, and then on about believing in him that you will not be judged. And then it says in verse 21, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. Or showing that your deeds, your life change has come about because of a transformation of heart and the Holy Spirit producing the fruit in and through you. Church, do we realize that there is a change when we encounter Emmanuel? We rejoice in the baptism that we just saw. And today we're going to take some time as we remember the birth story. We're going to take time to walk through this and take of what we call the Lord's Supper. See, on Wednesday, we celebrate that Jesus was born of a virgin and he took on flesh and came to earth as a baby. I shared last week, without the virgin birth, there is no gospel. For if Jesus would have been born of Mary and Joseph, he would have been born into sin and he would have deserved the death that he died. But because he was virgin born, because God the Father placed him into the womb of Mary, he's pure and holy. The scripture says, because of what took place, he shall be called the Son of the Most High, or the Son of God. Jesus took on flesh and was born as a baby. He lived a perfect life, even though he was tempted just as we are. Even though he lived a perfect life and though he came and shared the love of the gospel and shared the truth, the religious people who weren't there at the nativity, who missed the birth of Jesus, they said, we don't like him. We want somebody great. We want somebody who will keep us in our position and overthrow the Roman government, that will help us be set free. You know, Jesus was great. We talked about this last week. But the reason he was great was because he emptied himself to the point of death. And as Philippians 2 verse 7 or verse 8 says, and therefore God exalted him with a name above every name. The Pharisees, the Sadducees plotted. They decided that they were going to remove him. They were going to kill him. And so they arrested him in the middle of the night. They beat him. And they put him on trial. And ultimately, they convinced the crowd to shout out, "Crucify him." And they put him to death on a cross. In doing so, though, church, he paid the debt that we owe. 3 days later, as I've shared with you multiple times, because of the aseity of God, because he has life in of himself, Jesus began to breathe. An earthquake took place and the stone rolled away. Emmanuel, God with us, risen from the dead, conquering death, hell, and the grave. 3 days later, he rose and defeated the grave, and this is why we have salvation in none other, in no other king than King Jesus. Because no other king died for his people and rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Church, this is why we have a transformed life. It's because Jesus came. He died. He rose again. And now he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Today, we're going to remember. We're going to remember the effects of encountering the Most High God. That encounter came when you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you repented of your sins and you turned and submitted your life to the Lordship of Christ. And how are we going to remember? But by the elements, by the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember together as we celebrate Christmas. We're going to remember that when we had an encounter with Jesus, our lives have been transformed. Our lives have been changed. But before we take of communion, I want to ask this question. If there's anyone here in this room today who says, "I'm more like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I miss the encounter. I have not had an encounter with Emmanuel." Jesus says, "But I came for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Jesus says that he died for all. The question now is, will you receive the free gift of eternal life? Have you trusted and submitted your life to the Lordship of Christ? If not, I pray that in this moment, I'm going to ask Heidi to come and just play, but in this moment, I'm going to just ask that you, in this moment, would just cry out to God and say, "God, I'm a sinner. Genesis chapter 3, I am an offspring of Adam. I was born into sin, and it is a debt that I cannot pay. But Christ came, died on the cross, that I may be saved." I pray in this moment that you would just cry out to the Lord. As we take up 3 or 4 minutes, Brother Randy and I will be down front. We would love to pray with you. We would love to share with you the gospel. That today be the day of salvation, that you too, like Benny Starr did, can go into the baptistry and say, "Listen, my faith is in Christ and Christ alone." But for the church here today, those who have had an encounter with the Most High God, I pray that you would take these moments to simply say, "God, cleanse my heart. As I take of these elements, that I would remember what it took, that I may have an encounter, that I may be reconciled to Holy God."